Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Yud Tes. We are holding on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We left off in middle of trying to answer Rava's Shaila. Rava asked the following question. Yesh Hadal Tzroros or Ein Hadal Tzroros? Meaning we know Tzroros is unique in that it's the only thing other than Keren Tam that pays Chatzi Nezek. Right? We know when an animal gores and the animal is a short Tam, so it pays only Chatzi Nezek, not Nezek Shalim. So the only other example that we can find of something that pays Chatzi Nezek is Tzroros. We want to know how similar to Keren Tam is it? Just like, do we say that just like by Keren Tam, if it does it three times, so then it becomes a mu'ad, and then it's going to start paying Nezek Shalim. So maybe Tzroros should be the same thing, that there should be such a thing as becoming a mu'ad for Tzroros. So, or do we say no, that Tzroros is a told of regel. Tzroros happens from the animal walking normally. It's not something out of the ordinary. It makes sense by Keren to say that it becomes a mu'ad because the animal does something out of the ordinary, so we say it only pays Chatzi Nezek. But if the animal has proven that this is ordinary behavior for it, so then it's going to pay Nezek Shalim. But Tzroros in the first place was ordinary behavior. It was ordinary for the animal to just walk normally in the first place. Happens to be that rocks shoot out from under its feet, but the animal didn't do anything out of the ordinary, didn't do anything unusual, so that was the Shaila of Rava. Do we say that there's an idea of Muad by Tzroros, or is there not an idea of Muad by Tzroros? So we already had one of the possible rayas to answer that question from Hidus, right? We had Machlokas, whether Hidus Muad or Hidus Ein Muad, and we said that it's talking about it's talking about a case of Tzroros, where something shot out from the animal's feet. So we assumed that it was talking about that it happened three times, and the Machlokas, whether it's Muad or not, is whether there's Yesh Hadal Tzroros or not. And the Gemara said, no, that's not at all the Machlokas over there. The Machlokas over there is, do we hold like the Rabbanan or do we hold like Simchus? Do we hold like the Rabbanan that there actually is a din of Chatzi Nezek Tzroros? Or do we hold like Simchus? No, that even Tzroros pays Nezek Shalim. That's the whole issue over there. What Rav is trying to find out is, according to the Rabbanan, that Tzroros generally pays Chatzi Nezek, what if it does it three times? Do you then pay Nezek Shalim? But that Machlokas is not within the Rabbanan. That Machlokas that we of Hidus Vehit is Machlokas Rabbanan and Simchus, whether Tzroros ever pays Chatzi Nezek, or it just starts paying Nezek Shalim at the outset. So we're up to the second wide line on Yud Ches Amud Beis, and this is going to be the second attempted proof to answer Rava's question of whether Tzroros can become a Muad or not. So Tashma, Behema She'itila Galolim Le'isa, an animal relieves itself on top of a doe. So it obviously damages the doe, makes it unusable. Rav Yehuda Omer Meshalim Nezek Shalim, Rav Lezer Omer Chatzi Nezek. So Rav Yehuda says you pay Nezek Shalim, and Rav Lezer says you pay only Chatzi Nezek. So my lav could go into Ava Tlasa Zimni Ubahak Miflgi. So isn't the case, shouldn't we say that the case that we're talking about is where the animal did this three times already? And the Machlokas is as follows, Mar Savar Yesh Hada, Mar Savar Ein Hada, that Rabbi Yehudu says you pay Nezek Shalim holds that there's such a thing as Muad for Tzroros. The animal's excrement falling on a doe is considered Tzroros because it's not direct power of the animal that's doing it. It's not the goof of the animal, it's only Kocho, it's something that's indirectly coming from the animal that's doing the damage. So Rabbi Yehudu says you pay Nezek Shalim, assumes that once you do it three times, once an animal does Tzroros three times, so it becomes a Muad and is going to pay Nezek Shalim. And Rabbi Lazu said you pay Chatzi Nezek, holds that no, Tzroros is always Tzroros, you're always going to pay Chatzi Nezek, it never becomes a Muad. So you see that Rava's question is actually a Machlokas Tanaim. So says Gemara Lo, that's not at all the case. B'chad Zimna u'b'plukta d'sumchus Rabban k'mifugi. Same answer we gave before. Really, it's talking about the animal only did this once. What's the Avamina then that it should pay Nezek Shalim? The Machlokas is the same Machlokas, the Simchus and the Rabbanan. Do you say that you pay Chatzi Nezek because it's Tzroros pays Chatzi Nezek, or Nezek Shalim is the sheet of Simchus, that Tzroros itself even pays Nezek Shalim always? And there is no din of Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. That's the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda. So essentially, Rabbi Yehuda just paskins like Simchus, and Rabbi Elazar paskins like the Rabbanan. Frak the Gemara, but Vahamashunahu, but isn't this an unusual mode of damage? Meaning over here, this meaning the whole Machlokas Simchus and the Rabbanan is when you have Tzroros of Regel. Soros of regal means the animal is not doing anything unusual. It's just walking along the way, and pebbles start shooting out from under its feet and breaking things. But that's the animal's behavior was completely normal. But if you were to have keren, then there's no doubt that keren only pays chatzi nezek. Isn't this more like keren? Because it's very unusual for an animal to relieve itself on top of dough, on top of bread. Why would the animal would go off to the side and relieve itself somewhere else? Why would a dafka relieve itself on top of the dough? So shouldn't it be keren in any way? You should have to pay chatzi nezek. So says Gemara, didachik le alma. Now the case is the animal was in a unique spot. It was in a rough spot. It couldn't get out. Right? Rashi explains that dafka le alma means it was standing in a very narrow area. And because it couldn't move one way or the other, so it had to go to the bathroom, and the only way it could go to the bathroom was by going right there on that spot, so that's why it's not unusual for it to have gone in that situation. So frankly, but still, we wanted to say that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar is really the machlokas Rabbanan and Sumchus. But if that's the case, v'leimer of Yehuda alacha kusumchus, v'leimer of Rabbi Elazar alacha kurabbanan, if that's the exact machlokas, why don't they say it straight out? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say, I pass like Sumchus, and Rabbi Elazar say, I pass like the Rabbanan? Why do they say it as if it's their own shita? So that says Gemara Galalim Mitzrichalei, that they're adding something unique by formulating the case of Galalim, of the animal relieving itself. Because Salkatayt Chamina, Hol Basar Gufei Geririn Ki Gufei Dami, I might think that since the animal holds its waist inside of its body, so when the waist goes and lands on something, it's like the animal's goof itself that's doing the damage. That's what we would have thought, that this isn't even a case of tsreros. So Kamash Malan therefore comes to tell me that it is a case of tsreros, and therefore everyone lines up with the shita that they paskin, like in terms of the machlokas sumchus and the rabban about what you hold of tsreros in general. There's a Rashi over here that's more like a Tosfos. Rashi Dibur Maskel. So if you look at Rashi, it's standing in a narrow area, can't move. And we must be dealing with a case where the animal is not relieving itself for its own pleasure. Kigon b'mishal shelas. Because, for example, that the animal has shulshul, it has diarrhea. Dila ana asa told the sheni. Because if the animal is relieving itself lahana asa and getting hana from it, then it's a tolda of shein, and it wouldn't be a tolda of regel. So says Rashi, v'nira be'enai dekol galolim lahana asahu. Anytime an animal relieves itself, it's always considered lahana asa. It's always considered to be enjoying it. V'afilu v'achi lav tolda de sheininu. I shouldn't that automatically make it a tolda of shein? He says no. The shein azeka dekufahu v'ani tsroros ninu. Because shein by definition is a damage done directly by the animal with its body. Over here, this is tsroros. This is something coming out of the animal, and therefore, even though it shares some qualities with shein, it will never be put in the category of shein. V'hadamrin parakama tinfa perusla na'asa. Don't we discuss a tolda of shein being an animal that ruins fruits la na'asa for its own enjoyment? So isn't having tolda the shein? That's a tolda of shein. So isn't that a case where the animal's not directly touching the fruits and still we call it a tolda of shein? Says Rashi, no, that's also a case of the animal directly touching the fruits. Hainu, kigon shenis galgalalein kiderach susa v'chamorim shakorim bolter v'chein yikr. That's a case where when we say tinfa peres anasa, it's not a case of the animal relieving itself on fruits or anything like that. It's a case of an animal rolling around on the fruits because the animal enjoys doing that, and it's crushing the fruits and dirtying the fruits by rolling around on it. And that's all it is. So it's directly with the goof. If it were not done directly with the goof, then it would not be a tolda of shein. Frekt Rashi v. Kasha drablazar, to le'el Amar Nezek Shalim Bitsaros Gabi Kelev Shnatal Harara Vacha Tani Chatzi Nezek. But isn't it a steer with Rabbi Elazar? Because we're trying to say Rabbi Elazar holds you pay Chatzi Nezek Tsaros. Rabbi Elazar holds like the Rabbanan, right? And Rabbi Yehuda holds like Sumchus. So, but previously Rabbi Elazar held that you pay Nezek Shalim Bitsaros. By the case of the dog that took the Harara, the coal, and went and burnt down a Gedish. So we said that on the Gedish, if you hold Chatzi Nezek Tsaros, you'd pay Chatzi Nezek on the Gedish, but Rabbi Elazar held, you pay Nezek Shalim on the Gedish. So isn't it a stira within Rabbi Elazar? What does he hold? Does he hold like Sumchus? Does he hold like the Rabbanan? What do you pay for Tsaros? So Bal Karche Ahidil El Mukminim Kudu Kimna Beresha Kiddushani begachelas. So you have to say that the situation over there was the reason why. The case was you did something unusual with the gacheles ubeplukta the Rabbi Tafron v'Rabbanan, and the machlokas was really the machlokas Rabbi Tafron and the Rabbanan ubemakom gacheles, and it was only about the spot where the gacheles touched the gedish v'lo b'shara gedish, but it was not a discussion about how much you pay for the rest of the gedish. V'hadashani Rava ben Rabbi Lozer ben Rabbanan kesumcha sfir lehu dechu Yehuda kamadchi mipi mori, and that which the Rava tries to answer that everyone really holds like Simchas, that Rabbi Lazar also holds like Simchas, that's just the Dechia, but really Rabbi Lazar does not hold like Simchas, Rabbi Lazar would hold Yipay Nezek Shalim. So that's one answer in the Sira of Rabbi Lazar, but Rashi says, I don't think it's a Kasha to begin with. Ube'enai Nira Bahach Milsa, and he says, it appears to me, Bahach Milsa, regarding this issue, Behema Sheitila Galalim Amurai Ninu, this machlokas about a behema that relieves itself on top of a dough is not a machlokas tanaim, it's a machlokas amaraim. Virav Yehuda Garcinan, Virav Elazar Garcinan, Virresh Aleph, Hainu, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Right? Resh Aleph is not Rabbi Eliezer the Tana, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Velo Tikshid Rabbi Elazar de Rabbi Elazar. And you can't ask a stira between Rabbi Elazar the Yamora and Rabbi Eliezer the Tana. Right? In our Girsa, it's interesting because when we first have, we have Rav Yehuda Omer Meshalim Nezek Shalim, Virabi Elazar Omer Chati Nezek. So Rashi is saying the Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, who is the Amora. Rav Yehuda, as indicated by not calling him Rabbi, it's Rav Yehuda, is the Amora. V'nirin advarim, da'parchin v'leim Rav Yehuda alach kesumchus, Rabbi Elazar alach k'rabanan. He says, and it has to be that I'm correct, that when Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar have the machlokas here, it's a machlokas amuraim, it's not a machlokas tanaim. How do I know I'm correct? Because the Gemara, when the Gemara wants to say that the machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda is the same machlokas Simchas Rabbanan, the Gemara says, well, why didn't they just say, I pass like Simchas, I pass like Rabbanan? Why are they making it as if it's their own Shita? Well, you wouldn't ask that on Tanaim. If they were Tanaim, so they were initiating machlokas. They didn't hear of a previous machlokas, Simchas and Rabbanan. They're also Tanaim. So they're initiating the machlokas. But if it's Amoraim, then you have a kasha. Why would Amoraim take the credit and pretend as if it's their own shitos when they're really just following, obviously, what's a much earlier machlokas, a machlokas Tanaim? V'tanayin inhu, heichi parchinun hachi. If Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda over here is a machlokas Tanaim, how could we ask, shouldn't they have just said the halacha is like Sumchus and halacha is like Rabbanan? Ha'in derech Tanaim lachok lashon zeh. Tanaim generally don't argue by saying, I hold like this one, I hold like that one. They argue by saying their shita. Okay. So that's the issue over here. That seems to be a stira within Rabbi Elazar. Rashi says it's not a stira at all because there's a difference between Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas the Amora and Rabbi Eliezer the Tana. So it's over here we're discussing machlokas Amoraim, not a machlokas Tanaim. Okay, Vaiter in the Gemara. So again, we're still trying to find rayas to whether. Whether there is an idea of muad for tzroros, right? Rav opposed the shaila. Is there an idea of muad by tzroros? We had two attempts so far. This is going to be our third and final attempt to answer that question. Tashema, Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Tanagol Shoshet Rosha La'avir Kli Zechuchus V'Taka Bo V'Shavro. A chicken sticks its head into the airspace of a glass kli, and it makes a loud noise, whatever noise chickens make, into the kli, and it breaks the kli. The pitch of the chicken's sound breaks the kli. So for that, you pay Nezek Shalim. Vam Rav Yosef, Amri Be Rav, Sus Shetzanaf, Achamor Shenar, Vishibra Zakel Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. That if a horse neighs or a donkey brays, and the sound, again, breaks Kalim, you only pay Chatzi Nezek. So again, we had by the chicken, we said you pay Nezek Shalim, right? We had Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, that you pay Nezek Shalim. Rav Yosef Amri Be Rav says that the Sufshet son of a Chamar Shinar pays Chatzi Nezek. So my lav kigonda avat tlasa zimni uba hakamiflgi. Aren't they both talking about where the animal has already done this three times? And they're arguing it's machlokas. They're arguing about the following. Mar Savar Yesh Adau, Mar Savar Einada, that the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel holds that you pay Nezek Shalem because Yesh Adah becomes a Muad, even though this is a din of Tzroros, because it's not direct. It's only the voice of the animal that's doing the damage, not the animal doing the damage with its guf. So it has the din of Tzroros. And the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel holds that there's such a thing as a Muad for Tzroros. And the Rav Yosef Amri Beirav holds that there's no din of Muad for Tzroros. Even though it's done it three times, it does not become a Muad, and still you only pay Chatzi Nezek. So isn't that the Machlokas? Don't we see it's a Machlokas along those lines? So Rava Shaila is really a Machlokas? So says Gemara, lo. No, that's not at all the Machlokas. They are arguing, but the case is not where it has done it three times. It has done it one time. And the Machlokas is simply, do you paskin like the Rabbanan that Soros pays Chatzi Nezek, or do you paskin like Sumchus that Soros pays Nezek Shalem? I have a hamashunahu, but isn't this a very unusual thing for the animal to do? To stick its head in a kli and scream and break the kli that way? So it says, no, the ispe bezrani. Inside the kli there are seeds, right? Rashi says, ispe bezrani, she's zrayim bekli, the orche lach nesrosho betocho velecho. It's normal for the animal to stick its head where it sees animal food and to look for its food to try to eat. And then Rashi adds, v'kivin to orche lecho, orche nami litzok. Now, once it's normal for the animal's head to be inside the kli, then it's normal for the animal to make sounds while its head is inside the kli. Meaning, it's not that the animal decides, oh, I'd like to hear my echo, so I want to stick my head in the kli and make a sound. No, the animal makes sounds wherever it happens to be. It's normally not usual for an animal to stick its head in the kli, but if there's food in the kli, it becomes normal for the animal to stick its head in the kli. Once the animal's head is in the kli, it's normal for the animal to make noise, because animals make noise wherever they are. They're not shy about making noise wherever they might be. Tosos over here raised an interesting point. We suggested both in the Havamina and the Maskana that we have a machlokas between the Rav Yosef Amri Bei Rav and the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. So Frek Tosos, first of all, Tema Minali, right, first we thought the machlokas was whether Yeshada or Reinada, and then we said no, the machlokas is really do you pass on like Sumchus or do you pass on like the Rabbanim, but they're definitely arguing, right? So says Tosos, Tema Minali Depligi, Dilma Rami Bar Yecheskel B'di'i Yayid V'Amri Bei Rav B'dilo Yayid. Who says there's a machlokas? Maybe Rabbi Bar Yecheskel, who says you pay Nezek Shalem when the chicken sticks its head into the kli, is talking about where it's done it three times already. And the Amri Bei Rav, who says that you only pay Chatzi Nezek when the horse or the donkey makes the noise and breaks the kli, is talking about where it hasn't done it three times. Meaning, maybe the answer to Rav's question is yes, absolutely, there is Muad for Tzroros. And everyone agrees that there's Muad for Tzroros. Both Rami Bar Yecheskel and the Tani, both the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel and the Amri Bei Rav hold there's Muad for Tzroros. They happen to be discussing different cases. One is talking about a case where it has become a Muad, where it's done it three times. The other is talking about where it hasn't done it three times yet. So it says, Tosos Yeshlom Adim Kein, Mai Kamashmal and Amri Bei Rav. But if that's really true, that Amri Bei Rav is just telling me that it has not yet a Muad and it pays Chatzi Nezek, what's their big Chiddush? Their big chiddush is that you pay Chatzi Nezek before an animal becomes a Muad for Tzoros. Of course you pay Chatzi Nezek for Tzoros. There's no meaning. If everyone agrees that in principle to the Rabbanan that there is a din of Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, so then what's the big chiddush? Now, if there's a machlokas between them about whether you paskin like the Rabbanan or Sumchus, so then they're telling me a chiddush that we paskin like the Rabbanan, Chatzi Nezek Tzoros. But if they're not even arguing about that, everyone agrees you paskin like the Rabbanan, so then there's not much of a chiddush. Once the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel told me you pay Nezek Shalem when it becomes a Muad, so then what's Amri Bei Rav teaching me? Then Tosus raises a different point. He says, wait a second, Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, that's Tana or Namora? So Tani is always a Tana, right? And Amri Bei Rav, so Amar Rav Yosef Amri Bei Rav is Amora. Rav is Namora, Rav Yosef's Namora. So he says, how could there be machlokas? It's a Tana arguing on Namora, an Amora arguing on a Tana over here. He says, Ve'in Litma Hechi Poliga Braisa. Don't wonder how could it be that Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav, is arguing on a brisa. The stam Amri Bei Rav mishmei de Rav v'Rav Tanu Palig. When we say Amri Bei Rav, we're saying not just something that was said in the Beis Medrash of Rav, but something that was actually said by Rav. And we have a rule that Rav Tanu Hu Palig. Rav is allowed to argue on Tanaim because Rav himself has a status of quasi Tana. He's somewhere in between a Tana and Namora, but he argues on Tanaim. Inami mishum de lo misni be Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Oshia lo masinu minei tiyufta. Or when it's a brisa that was not taught by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia, it's not as authoritative a brisa, and Amoraim are allowed to argue on such brisas. Right? We have throughout Shas in general that the brisas that are not taught by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia are less authoritative. That's the famous story in the Gemara in Tainis, where Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were good friends growing up. We're going to have Ilfa again tomorrow's daf and next day. Ilfa was and Rabbi Yochanan were like neck and neck in terms of the best guys in yeshiva growing up, and Ilfa went into business, and Rabbi Yochanan became Rabbi Yochanan, and people used to always say to Ilfa, you know, if look what you could have been. You could have been like Rabbi Yochanan, and now you're just you. So the Gemara tells the story that Ilfa climbed up to the top of the mast of a sailboat, and he said, anyone who could bring me a brisa of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia that I'm unable to show you where that brisa is sourced in a Mishnah, I'll jump. If as a way of showing, you think I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I'm such a Bucky in Mishnayos and Braises, you show me any Braise that was taught by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia, I'll show you where it's sourced in the Mishnah. But the point is, though, there are a number of points from that Gemara. Obviously, Ilfa was trying to make the point that he's a Talmud Chacham, but why did he limit himself to Braises that were taught by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia? So again, because the Braises of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia are authoritative. The fact that someone could come to him with a Braise from somewhere else that's not sourced in the Mishnah, that doesn't have some sort of basis in the Mishnah, that doesn't prove anything. You could always come to me with something else because those brises aren't reliable anyway. So they may not have any roots in the Mishnah because they may be totally unreliable brises. The only brises that we know to be reliable are the brises of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia. So that would prove something. If you bring me a brisa from Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia and I can't show you where it's based, in the Mishnah. We mentioned that in the past. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in his Hakdama to Emes LeYaakov, he uses the relationship between Brisos and Mishnayos to explain the relationship between Nach and Torah. And he says that that all that we have in Nach, where the Gemara says that all of Tanakh was given to Moshe at Har Sinai, so it seems very strange that because the Gemara also says that had it not been for Klal Yisrael sinning with the Chet HaEgel or Chet HaMeraglim, then we never would have needed anything besides for Sefer Yoshua. What do you mean? I thought all of Nach was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. What do you mean we never would have needed? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that it's the same Yesod, that all of Nach is based somehow in Torah. You just have to know how to find it. But that's what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu got all of Nach. Not that he received the words of Nach, but that he received all of the messages of Nach within the Torah that he received. He only received Chamisha Chumshe Torah, but everything that we can learn from Nach, if you know how to look in Chumash, it's really there. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests that's the same relationship between Brisos and Mishnayos, that generally we wouldn't necessarily know the Brisos just by learning the Mishnayos, but once we have the Brisos, we can show how every single Brisos somehow has its source in the Mishnah. Okay, that's in terms of the second answer to Tosfos. First answer to Tosfos that Rav is a Tana and argues, so just worthwhile mentioning, this whole idea that an Amora can't argue with a Tana is not so pashut that they're not allowed to argue with a Tana. Because the Mishnah writes in Hilchos Mamrim, where the Rambam discusses the halacha, that a later Bezin is allowed to argue with an earlier Bezin under certain circumstances. So the Kesef Mishnah says, so I don't understand, if a later Bezin is allowed to argue with an earlier Bezin, why can't Amorayim argue with Tanayim? So Kesef Mishnah answers that Efshar, that Miyom Chasimas HaMishnah Kimu V'Kiblu Shalo Lachlok, that from the day the Mishnah was completed, not that they're not allowed to, they chose not to. They decided, the Rav Shachter always says it over, they decided that time would be better spent figuring out the Tanaim rather than arguing on the Tanaim, because they figure the chances that they will be correct in arguing with Tanaim is not that great, so the time would be better spent trying to understand the Tanaim rather than arguing on the Tanaim. So it's not that it's usher for them to argue, it's that they chose not to argue. That's where Rav Elchanan writes in the name of Rav Chaim in Babas, in the Kovit Shurim Babas, in Tuf Reish Lamed Gimel. Also, he has this issue. He says, "Davar zeh sha'alti mikvod mori Rabbi Hagracha Levi zatzal mibrisk veheishiv debe'emes gam amora yesh bekocho lachlok al tana." An amora is allowed to argue on a tana. That which we ask questions on Amoraim all over Shas from statements of Tanaim, umishum da Amora eino cholek al Tana. It's because an Amora doesn't argue on a Tana, but certainly he's allowed to. The Amoraim simply chose not to argue on Tanaim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. We are four lines in Daf Yud Tesam and Alf. Boy Ravashi, yeshinu l'tzoros l'rvi nezek, v'yeshinu l'tzoros l'rvi nezek. Let's say tzoros happens in an unusual way. So normally normally when something is keren, it's done in an unusual way, pays half of what it would pay if it were done in a normal fashion. Now, tsroros done in a normal fashion pays half. So if you do tsroros in an unusual way, do you pay 25%? Do you pay a quarter? So tifshal lemi de Rava. So maybe we should be able to answer this question from another question that Rava asked. Debai Rava, because the shaila we've been working on that Rava asked, yesh hadol tsroros v'ein hadol tsroros, mechal dein shinoi. Rava asked, if tsroros does something three times, if you have tsroros three times, does it then pay nezek shalim? That implies that tsroros never pays less than chati nezek. Meaning you can't say that you're going to pay a quarter nezek when tsroros is done in an unusual way, and then when it does it three times, it pays full nezek, because again, the assumption, if it's going to pay full nezek, you're assuming that it's already as if it's unusual in the first three times, and once it does it three times, it makes it usual. It only makes sense to ask the shaila whether you pay full nezek when tsroros is done three times if you assume that you never pay a quarter nezek. So says Amar Na, Dilma Rava Imtim Tzilamar Kamar. Maybe Rava was just asking an Imtim Tzilamar type kind of question. Imtim Tzilamar Ein Shinoi, meaning if you should assume that there's that Shinoi does not pay a quarter Nezek by Tzoros, so Yesh Hada Oina does. Then you have a Shaila, do you ever pay full Nezek for Tzoros? So Teku, and that we have a Teku. But not that Rava was so sure that Shinoi doesn't pay a quarter Nezek. He said, if it doesn't pay a quarter Nezek, if the minimum is going to be half, do you ever work your way up to full? That was Rava's question. But he wasn't necessarily certain that it never pays a quarter. By Ravashi, koach kochel asumchus kochel dami alo. What if it's a secondary koach? We know tsroros is called kochel. It's not gufo, it's kochel. So sumchus holds kochel, still pays nezek shalim. What if it's koach kochel? Right, that you did, the animal did something that caused a rock to shoot out. The rock then broke something. So that, sumchus says, you pay nezek shalim on. What if he broke an item and then shot out and broke something else? At that point, do you pay chatzin ezek? Mi gamer alacha mukila bekoach kochel? Al dilma lo gamer alacha klal. The sumchus learned the alacha l'moshe misinai and related to koach kochel, meaning he holds there is alacha l'moshe misinai of chatzin ezek tsroros. But it's only when it's tsroros of tsroros that he's going to apply it and then you're going to pay chatzin ezek. Or maybe lo gamer alacha klal, maybe sumchus didn't learn the alacha at all. As we pointed out, this Meretz Chayis points out that this shaila seems to be very strong support for the idea that there is a machlokas by alacha l'moshe misinai, that you have machlokas even within alacha l'moshe misinai. Because sumchus may have learned alacha l'moshe misinai and just applies it to a totally different case. So teku. So anyway, so the Gemara leaves it as a teku. If the animal was kicking, or tsroros came out from under the animal's feet and breaks kelim, you pay chatzin ezek. So how do you read? Are those two totally separate cases, or is one building off the previous? Iboilu, heichikamen. What's the Mishnah saying? Ha'isum ve'etes v'izika bebiyuta. Is it saying that the animal is kicking and it damages by kicking? Oh, tsroros korchayu, or a totally separate case. An animal is just stam walking and tsroros come shooting out from under its feet. Mishalim chatzinezik, either of those cases you pay chatzinezik for Rabbanan hi, and we're assuming like the Rabbanan that for tsroros you pay chatzinezik. Odilma, or maybe no, the case is as follows. Haysim va'eta es v'izika bebiuta. The animal was kicking and it damages by kicking. Oh, or the other case is, not totally separate, tsroros machmas biyut. Tsroros come out because the animal is kicking, not from the animal walking. Then mishalim chatzin nezek. That's when you're going to pay half nezek for tsroros. It's because it came al yidei biyut. It came because the animal is kicking. But kiorche mishalim nezek shalim. But if the animal were just walking and tsroros would come out, then you'd pay nezek shalim. Umani sumchusi, and then the author of our Mishnah would be sumchus. So essentially we're asking, is our Mishnah assuming that when an animal walks normally and tsroros come out, you pay chatzin nezek, or is our Mishnah assuming you pay nezek shalim? Does the Mishnah assume like the Rabbanan or like sumchus? Tashimami seifa, so let's bring a raya from the seifa of the Mishnah. Dar salakli v'shavarto, if the animal tramples on a kli and breaks it, v'nafla shavral kli acher, and that broken piece falls onto another kli v'shavro and breaks that second kli, al rishon mishalim nezek shalim, al achron chatzin nezek. So the first kli that the animal stepped on directly, you pay nezek shalim, because that's regel. The second kli that the piece of the first kli went out and broke, you pay chatzin nezek, because that's tsroros. But vi sumchus mi yisle chatzin nezek. If the author of our Mishnah is sumchus, sumchus wouldn't hold you pay chatzin nezek with the second kli, because that's tzoros. Sumchus holds for tzoros you pay nezek shalim. So it must be that the author of our Mishnah is the Rabbanan. I says Gemara v'chitei merishon rishon la'atazav v'sheni sheni la'atazav v'shani that the sumchus beim kocho l'kochocho. No, maybe we're reading the sefer wrong. When we say al rishon you pay nezek shalim, al sheni you pay chatzin nezek, rishon doesn't mean the kli that the animal stepped on, and sheni doesn't mean the kli that was broken from a piece of that kli. No, rishon means the second kli. The animal steps on a kli. A piece of the kli that the animal steps on goes and breaks kli number two. That's rishon. Kli number two is rishon. Then a broken piece of that kli shoots out and breaks kli number three. That's sheni. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So ala rishon means it's tzroros case, you pay nezek shalem, which is like sumchus. Ala sheni means the tzroros of tzroros. Koch kocho. That's where you pay chatzi nezek. So maybe that's the case, and therefore the Mishnah could be authored by sumchus. So it says the Gemara, no, but then if that were the case, ala hadabai ravashi koch kocho sumchus kokocho dami alav kokocho dami, we left it unresolved what sumchus holds about kli number three, about what happens to kli of koch kocho. But if Sumchus is the author of our Mishnah, and he's saying explicitly that kli number three, you pay chatzin ezek, so tifshal le delav kekocho dami. So you should be able to answer, to resolve Ravashi's question very easily. Then our Mishnah would be saying that kokocho, according to Sumchus, only pays chatzin ezek, not ezek shalem. So Ravashi krabanam ukilo boi lahachi. So it says, well, no, Ravashi assumed our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan. And that's why he posed the shayla. If an animal was kicking and it damages by kicking, or it's just stam walking and tzoros come out, chatzi nezek, it pays chatzi nezek, which implies hamachmas biyut revia nezek v'yeshinoi. So Ravashi then has a question. But what if the animal would have damaged with tzoros that came about through kicking? Do you say that first it's tzoros, so it's chatzi nezek, but then it also happened in an unusual way, so it should be half of that? So it should be revia nezek. Or maybe what the Mishnah is saying is that if the animal kicks and damages, or tsroros comes out as a result of the kicking, in either of those cases it pays chatzi nezek, because ein shinoi, because tsroros always pays chatzi nezek, whether it happens in a normal way or an abnormal way. But that shailu is within the Rabbanan. Again, within the Rabbanan, that you assume that tsroros generally pays chatzi nezek, all Ravashi was asking is, do you pay any less when the tzoros came about in an unusual fashion? Or do you always pay chatzi nezek? So teku, Gemara leaves it again as a teku. A lot of tekus on this summit. What if an animal is walking on a place like one of those pebble driveways, right, where rocks always shoot out? It's impossible for the animal to walk there without rocks shooting out. But instead of the animal just walking, it kicks, and the rocks go flying, and it does damage. So what's the din then? Do we say that since it's impossible for the rocks not to shoot out, it's considered normal? Or do we say, no, it's because of the biut, it's because of the kicking that the tzoros come out? So, my nafkamina, meaning either way, it's chatzi nezek, isn't it? Right. So what's the nafkamina between whether it came... we consider it regular, we consider it keren, we consider it usual or unusual. Either way, it's tzraros. So says Rashi, nafkamina is vim tomer yeshinu tzraros l'revia nezek or revia nezek mishalemes. If you hold that tzraros done in an unusual fashion pays revia nezek, that's the nafkamina. That over here it was done in an unusual fashion, so it would pay revia nezek if you assume that this is considered unusual. Or do you say, no, that since rocks were going to shoot out anyway, it's considered usual, and therefore pays chatzi nezek. Tosa says that one might have thought of a different pshat, which happens to be suggested by the Rush, that another nafkamina, but Tosus rejects it. He says, "Ein lefarish da iri b'rishos sarabim v'bayle de morche pater mididav haregel." Then maybe we're talking about in rishos sarabim. So if it's regel, it's going to be pater rishos sarabim. If it's keren, it's unusual, then it's going to be chayiv even rishos sarabim. He says that can't be the pshat over here. Why? Midelo kamar sim alechus b'rishos sarabim come up by the besamach. Because the Gemara would have specified that the animal was walking in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, Pirush of Kuntra Zikr tells us, as I agree with Rashi, that Rashi is correct in what the Nafkamin is. Do you pay Revia Nezek or do you not pay Revia Nezek? Teku, again, the Gemara leaves it as a Teku. If an animal is walking in Rosh Hashanah and rocks shoot out and damage, what's the din? So Dilma told the regel b'tura. Do we say it's like Karen and Karen is chayav in Rosh Hashanah, or do we say it's like regel and regel is pater in Rosh Hashanah? So Amar Leih Mistavra told the regel. He says it's Mistavra that it's a tolda of regel. He teases Rosh Hashanah and the Ezekiel Rosh Hashanah Mahu. What if though the rocks shoot out from Rosh Hashanah and the damage gets done in Rosh Hashanah? Animals walking through the Rosh Hashanah, rocks are shooting out from under its feet and hitting things in Rosh Hashanah. So then what's the din? Amalei Akira in Kana Nocha Yesh Kan. He says, how could you possibly be chayv? The animal is walking in Rosh Hashanah where it's allowed to walk. So where the rock is shooting from, the animal is allowed to be. Rocks are allowed to shoot from there. The animal is not going to be chayv for such damage in Rosh Hashanah. So you can't be mechayv him for the hanacha for where the rock lands in the Rosh Hashanah if where the rock originated there was no problem. So it's going to be pater. Aisvei, but is that really so? Haysam aleches b'darak v'yitiza b'im Rosh Hashanah b'im Rosh Hashanah. The animal is walking and rocks shoot out, whether it be Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. Chayiv, my love, v'yitiza b'Rosh Hashanah v'yiziku b'Rosh Hashanah. Isn't this talking about a case where the rocks shoot out in Rosh Hashanah and it does the damage in the Rosh Hashanah? So says Merlo, v'yitiza b'Rosh Hashanah v'yiziku b'Rosh Hashanah. Now, obviously, it can't be that the damage, everything was done in Rosh Hashanah, because then it's regel. You wouldn't be chayiv, you're not chayiv for regel in Rosh Hashanah. So what must it be a case of? The animal is walking in the Rosh Hashanah, and the damage was done where? In the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Aye, so we see your chayiv in that case. But didn't you just tell me that if where the rock originated, the animal wouldn't be chayiv? Then it wouldn't be chayiv for where the damage was done? So how could you be chayiv in that case? So Amalei Hadribi says, I changed my mind. You're right. Meaning, when the animal is walking in Rosh Hashanah and a rock shoots out and damages in the Rosh Hashanah, you could be chayiv for that, even though you're not chayiv for regel in the Rosh Hashanah. This is called regel in the Rosh Hashanah. Right, an animal tramples on a kli and breaks it, a piece of that kli goes out and shoots onto another kli and breaks that. For the first kli, for the second kli, v'tani ala b'med v'armamurim b'shus ha-nizik av b'shus ha-rabim al rishon p'tura v'alachron chayavis. And we said this is only true in Rishus ha-nizik, but in Rishus ha-rabim you're pater for the first kli and chayiv for the second kli. My love, itiza b'shus ha-rabim, itiza b'shus ha-rabim. Now, could you possibly suggest that we're talking about a case where everything happened in Rishus ha-rabim and you're going to be chayiv? Doesn't make any sense. Regel isn't chayiv in Rishus ha-rabim. So what must be the case? Lo, itiza b'shus ha-rabim, itiza b'shus ha-yachid. The animal is walking the Rosh Hashanah, the thing shot out from the Rosh Hashanah and did damage in the Rosh Hashanah. Aye, but didn't you say before, V'amrit akira ein kan anocha yesh kan? Didn't you say before that, who was it that said, Rabbi Yochanan, right? No, Rabbi Zera. Didn't you say, who was it? Rabbi Zera, I think. Yeah, didn't you, Rabbi Zera, say before that if Akira ain't kind of nacha yesh kan, that it can't be that if the animal is walking in the Rosh Hashanah, even if the damage was done in the Rosh Hashanah, it can't be the animal is going to be chayiv for it? So I'm like, Hadribi. He said, okay, maybe you didn't hear me the first time. I changed my mind. I hold that even though the Akira is done in Rosh Hashanah and the nacha is done in the Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be chayiv as if it were damage that were done in the Rosh Hashanah. So says Gemara Eini, again, in case we didn't hear it the first two times, Gemara says, I have another question. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein chatzi nezek chaluk lo l'rishus ha-yachid v'lo l'rishus ha-rabim. That chatzi nezek, we don't distinguish between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah by Chatzi Nezek. My love, it is Rosh Hashanah, Yizika Rosh Hashanah. Now, could it possibly be talking about a case of everything happening in the Rosh Hashanah? Can't be, again, because Regel is not Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah. So, lo, it is Rosh Hashanah, Yizika Rosh Hashanah. So, what's the case where you're going to pay Chatzi Nezek, where the rock shoots out from the Rosh Hashanah and does damage where? In the Rosh Hashanah. V'amr Takirem Kananochi Yesh Kan, but didn't you, Rabbi Zera, say that if the place where the rock originated, it's not going to be chayiv for, so where it ends up it's not going to be chayiv for either. So Amalei Hadribi. So again, for the third time he says, I changed my mind. It's unclear whether they actually asked him these questions in sequence or in perhaps three different Bate Medrash where he visited. His Shita of Akira Yeshkan Akira Yenkan Anacha Yeshkan became so famous that wherever you'd go to a base Medrash they'd ask him a new Kasha on it, and everywhere he went he had to just defend himself and say, look, I changed my mind, I was wrong, I made a mistake, and he had to keep on wherever wherever he went, wherever they asked him a new kasha, he had to defend himself, or he had to point out that he changed his mind. Iba yisema, or perhaps we can answer kiyam Rabbi Yochanan akeren, that when Rabbi Yochanan was when Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no chiluk between chatzi nezek in Rishus Yochanan and Rishus Rambam, he's talking about keren. He's not talking about tsoros as it's told of the regel. Yosef Rabbi was talking about it was done in an unusual fashion. Yosef Rabbi Yudin Nasi of Rabbi Yoshi Akilud Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yudin Nasi and Rabbi Yoshi were sitting by the porch of Rabbi Yehuda. Nafuk Milsumi Benayu, and the following discussion came out from their conversation. Kishkishab is Nava Mahu. What if the animal wags its tail? So what's the din then? But is the owner expected to hold on to the animal's tail the entire time he's walking with the animal in Rishus Rabbim? Meaning it's normal for an animal to wag its tail. It's totally normal. So frankly, yeah, but if that's the case, why don't you say the same thing about an animal that gores? What do you expect the owner to carry, to hold on to the animal's horns the entire time? Says Mar, no, that's a terrible comparison. Karen lav urche, ha urche. It's not normal for an animal to gore something. It is normal for an animal to wag its tail. Animals wag their tails. So therefore, it's considered regel when the animal wags its tail. But if it's normal, then what's the shayla? Of course you can be putter. An animal wags its tail and breaks something by wagging its tail in Rishus Rabbim, so that's regel Rishus Rabbim. Regel Rishus Rabbim is putter. So says Mar Kishka Shiserimi, by the way. No, the shayla is if it wags its tail excessively. It's wagging a lot, so more than usual. By Rav Ina, kishkisha ba'amasa mahu. What if the animal shakes or wags its evar azachrus and does damage in that way? So mi amrin mididava keren. Keren lav yitzra katakaf lehachanami loshna. Do we say that it should be just like Keren? That why does the animal do Keren? Because it has yitzar hara to go and hurt somebody. So over here as well, when it waves its ama, it's also because it has a yitzar hara. Or Dilma Keren kavanos lahazik, Hayin kavanos lahazik. Or maybe the two yitzar haras are different. By Keren, it was the yitzar hara to damage. The animal wanted to hurt somebody. Over here, the animal wasn't trying to hurt somebody. The animal had a yitzar hara for znus, for whatever. It wasn't trying to hurt anybody. So maybe in that sense it should be different. Rav Yosef Engel and Desa Otzer quotes this Gemara in his discussion of whether animals have a Yetzer Hara, whether animals are punished for their Yetzer Hara. When you kill a Shara Niskal, right, is it because the animal didn't have errors, because it's a punishment for the owner, and it's just a menace to society to have the Shara Niskal around. So Pashtus is the second way. But if you say the animal has a Yetzer Hara, maybe you could say such a thing, that the animal's punished for its sins, so to speak. It's a little bit strange, but that's, anyway, that's the discussion he has in Beis HaOtzer. So we leave this as a take as well. HaTarnugol Modon Halik Darkon L'Shaber, chickens break as they go. Amrav Huna L'Shaber, they break things, it's normal. Amrav Huna L'Shanu L'Shanikshar Me'elav, Al-Vukashra Adam Chayev. When we say that if Dli is attached to the animal and it breaks something, that's all, only if it got attached automatically, if it was attached on its own. But if a person tied the thing to the animal, then the person is going to be chayiv. Right? Rash says, Kashra Adam Chayiv HaKosher Nezek Shalim. The one who tied it is going to be chayiv Nezek Shalim Davi Bar, because he put a bar, essentially, on the animal. Vim Nitzkal Ba'adam Chayiv Benisko. And if a person trips on it, you're chayiv in the Nezek that's done by a bar. Nikshar Me'el of Man Chayiv. Now, if it were tied on its own, who's going to be chayiv? Ilim Abala Dalil. If the owner of the bucket that was tied to the animal is going to be chayiv, Hechidami Ida Atznei Anasu. If the guy put his bucket in a safe place where it shouldn't have happened, so then it's a total anus. V'ilo Atznei Posheahu. And if he left the bucket out in a public place, so he's Poshea. He left the barber Shusarabim. So Ela Chayiv Balatarnagal. So we must say that the Balatarnagal is going to be chayiv. Maisha Kuli Nezek Delo. Why doesn't he pay the full damage? Tichsiv Kiyiftach Ishbar V'lo Sharbar. So, because the pasuk says kiftach ishbar, not sharbar, over here the tarnagel created the bar, but chatzi nezek nami ishbar velo sharbar. But he shouldn't be chayiv chatzi nezek either then, because of that same drash of ishbar velo sharbar. El masnisin b'da'adya aduye. So the Mishnah must be talking about a case where the animal was jumping around. V'chiyitmar d'Rav Huna bi'alma itmar. And when Rav Huna made his statement, it was a general statement. Delil hefker. Rav Huna, when Rav Huna distinguished between the guy tying it on and it getting tied on by itself, that was talking about a regular bucket of hefker. That Rav Huna says nikshar me'elav pater. If it got tied on by itself, pater. Kasher adam chayiv. But if a person tied it on, you're going to be chayiv. Mishum mai chayev, what are you chayev for? Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach, mishum boro hamisgalgal baragli adam baragli behema. You're chayev for a boro hamisgalgal baragli adam baragli behema. You're chayev for leaving a bar that then gets moved by ragli adam ragli behema. That's the level of chayev that you have if you tied the bar onto, you tied the bucket onto the leg of the chicken. Okay, let's stop here. We'll pick up the mission tomorrow.